Chapter 2. First Kisses. Kaya, Usopp.
Usopp, you're leaving?
He set down his bag and turned to face her.
Yes, he nodded. I was a bit hesitant, but...
He glanced at his ship, so small next to the one Kaya was giving Luffy's crew.
I've finally decided.
Decided to leave her like his dad had left his mom. Decided not to make her spend her life waiting for a black flag on the horizon. 100 pleas and confessions hovered on his tongue.
I love you. You're my other half. I'll stay here the rest of my days if you just asked.
But he swallowed those words. And instead, what came out was,
don't stop me.
I won't, because I understand. But everyone will miss you. Kaya smiled as she said that, soft and sweet. And the way she clasped her hands in front of herself made the sleeves of her jacket hitch up ever so slightly to reveal the band of black around her wrist.
When I come back, I'll tell you about some real adventures, he promised, faking a wide smile.
He was a pirate. It wasn't reasonable for anyone to expect him to return for anything less than his soulmate. And if she didn't know?
Okay.
She took a few steps forward, until she was almost within arm's reach.
I'll wait for you.
Usopp's jaw dropped, and he gripped his armband where it covered his soul mark.
She would wait for him? Kaya, beautiful, kind, wonderful Kaya, who deserved a soulmate so much better than him, was willing to hang her whole life on the promise of a lying pirate?
I love you, he breathed, closing the space between them and pressing a quick chase kiss to her lips. Mary made a distressed noise, and when he stepped back, Usopp felt his armband being slid up. He let Kaya turn his hand over, exposing the symbols which were already beginning to grow fainter, paler against his dark skin. She turned her own wrist up, and his heart fairly skipped a beat at the sight of a fading target in the center of her black band.
Me too,
she smiled, brighter than he'd ever seen, and when she pulled him into a hug, he hugged her back tight. No matter how far he strayed in search of adventure, no matter how far he had to go to truly become a brave warrior of the sea, he would always return here. No, he would always return to her.
I'll come back, he said when she pulled away, placing his hands on her shoulders.
And that's an Usopp promise. Zoro, Sanji.
My soulmate dyes her hair.
Sanji pulled his arm out of Luffy's grip and picked up the sodden dish rag again.
She's a natural brunette.
Luffy, somewhat surprisingly, left the kitchen without another word. Sanji plunged his hands back into the hot water and started scrubbing again. When everything was clean and dry and put away, he removed the gunk trap from the drain and emptied it into the bucket where bait scraps went.
Why'd you lie to him?
Sanji shrugged and set the gunk trap back in place.
A habit, mostly.
A habit, Zoro repeated incredulously.
Wow, part Marimo, part parrot,
Sanji snapped back, crossing his arms.
Yes, habit. Customers are nosy, and nobody ever believes me when I say my soulmate has naturally green hair.
He rolled down his sleeves, covering the mark again.
Honestly, I didn't fully believe it myself until I saw you.
So we're soulmates.
Zoro leaned against the counter next to him, and Sanji shrugged again. I've got 3 swords and a scar. You've got 2 curls. It's pretty solid.
And you're fine with this? Zoro raised an eyebrow.
Well, it's not like all soulmates are romantic.
Sanji pulled out a cigarette and lit it.
All the mark really means is we're destined to spend our lives together.
Sounds pretty damn romantic to me, Zoro frowned.
Then look at it this way. Sanji pulled his cigarette from between his teeth and exhaled a stream of smoke. These marks are proof that we'll be sailing with Luffy until he runs us into some fight we can't win, and we all die.
Cheery, Zoro snorted. Like it or not, Marimo, we're stuck with each other for the rest of the foreseeable future. He put his cigarette back to his lips and exhaled more smoke. Can I kiss you anyways? Sanji nearly choked on nothing and wound up coughing up smoke in a rather undignified way. What? He croaked when the fit had mostly passed. Just to clear the marks and shit. Zoro indicated the twin curls on his wrist, and Sanji sucked in more smoke between his teeth before exhaling it slowly. Fine, but just once. He lowered his cigarette, and Zoro leaned in for a quick kiss. Too quick, actually. Their noses bumped together almost painfully, and then the swordsman's mouth slammed into his hard enough to make their teeth knock together. Zoro pulled away just as fast, and Sanji reached up to wipe his mouth as the Marimo pressed on his split lip. His wrist was tingling slightly, the symbols in his green soul mark vanishing, and Sanji lowered his hand to cross his arms. We're not doing that again. Yeah, no. Zoro shook his head.
Nami, Vivi. I was actually a little bit worried. Vivi ran her thumb over the mark on the underside of her wrist. I'd never heard of an indicator changing so completely overnight.
Nami raised a hand to rub at her tattoo, but said nothing. She'd never thought about her soulmate that much, at least not since Belmare died. And now here she was, less than a month out from under Arlong's thumb and sitting next to her soulmate in the room they shared. And her soulmate, on top of being damn beautiful, was a princess? It's sort of surreal, she chuckled, lowering her hand to look at the pale mark over her pulse.
It really is, Vivi agreed, not looking up. You won't be staying with us, though, once we've saved your country.
It was something which hadn't been spoken, but Nami knew it to be true. Vivi loved them, loved this ship and the sea and all their nakama, but she wouldn't be able to choose them over her duty to her country. That much was painfully clear.
I want to. Vivi's voice wobbled slightly, and Nami put an arm around the younger girl's shoulders. I really want to.
Well, let's worry about that later. Nami pulled Vivi closer, so their bodies were flush from hip to chest, and the princess turned to return the hug.
Do you want to make this work?
More than anything, Vivi mumbled into her shoulder. Then we'll make it work. Nami pulled away slightly, and Vivi lifted her head.
Can I kiss you?
You may. Vivi smiled, and Nami leaned in. Her wrist tingled slightly, but that was far from the front of her mind. Vivi's lips were soft, her hands were warm and strong in the navigator's own, and it was like the rest of the world melted away.
That was, Nami mumbled when they separated, a few long seconds later,
an adequate adjective escaping her.
Nice.
Vivi's cheeks were flushed, her eyes bright, and she had never looked more beautiful.
Yeah, nice.
Nami's face felt hot, and she knew she was probably bright red, but she didn't really care.
We should do that again sometime.
She tried to pull her hands back to regain her own space, but Vivi only held on tighter. Later, Nami cut her off, twisting her hands to free them. I've got a ship to steer. She stood, straightened her skirt, and gave Vivi a soft smile. The princess nodded once and stood to hook her arm through Nami's.
I intend to hold you to that, Miss Navigator.
Frankie Robin. Robin held very carefully still as Frankie traced the gears on her wrist. They were on watch tonight, and the look Usopp had given them was positively wistful. Nami and Sanji, in contrast, had given them looks of mixed knowing and jealousy. Now Robin sat silently as Frankie's deceptively delicate hands traced around her soul mark, the cyborg quite visibly captivated by her gears and star.
"I thought about putting the mark on my new arm," he said quietly, "but it didn't seem right."
"Was it really a flower?"
"A sakura blossom," Frankie nodded. "Iceberg was so jealous," he chuckled, and Robin smiled.
"I suppose I should be flattered."
"Look, soul marks are really vague," Frankie frowned slightly. "If you want to wait and see if your soul mark is for someone else?"
"No, I..."
Robin looked down at her hands, at the familiar stripe of bright, brilliant blue which encircled her wrist.
"I would like to know."
"Well, you're welcome to kiss me whenever," Frankie grinned.
"I'll think about that."
Robin smiled back serenely and stood. 5 days later, she pulled him outside, into the wreck of Moria's courtyard, and he leaned down when she tugged on the lapels of his shirt. She kissed him hard, conveying 1,000 unspoken anxieties in a few endless seconds. He gripped her waist tight and rested their foreheads together when she pulled away. They were alive, against all odds, and he wondered if sailing with Luffy was always like this. He felt a phantom tingle from his wrist, and Robin released his lapel to turn her indicator skyward. They were fading rapidly, and in seconds, both star and gears had faded.
"You're pretty good at that," he chuckled quietly, not pulling her close for another kiss, but not releasing her either.
"It's amazing how easy some pirates are to bribe."
She smiled back, dry and sharp as a hidden blade.
"Well, then, consider me bought in full."
He moved a hand up to cup her cheek and pressed a kiss to her forehead. That evening, he invited her down to his workshop, and she let him compare inks to her hair until he got the mixture just right. Not too brown, not too blue, just the slightest tinge of purple. Her hands were steady as she painted the stripe on his wrist, the dye sinking in and staining his synthetic skin. Marco, Ace. Ace couldn't really help staring a little when he first met Marco. The infamous phoenix had bands of color covering his right arm all the way up to the shoulder, and on the left were stripes reaching almost to his elbow.
"I thought the rumors were exaggerating," he said after a moment, looking up to meet the man's eyes. "You actually are immortal."
The phoenix had only nodded, and as he walked away, Ace looked down at the band of bright yellow which wrapped around his wrist. It had taken him longer than he liked to admit to make sense of what the symbol over his pulse point was, but now he almost wished he'd never figured it out. What sort of cruel god had decided to make his soulmate the first division commander of the Whitebeard Pirates? He'd been prepared to accept his soul mark never filling in, entirely ready to live his life with his other half never loving him. But the idea of being actively despised by that man was a bit painful. Because, of course, Marco would hate him once he achieved his goal and killed Whitebeard. Months later, it was Marco who took the sea stone cuff from his wrist after that tattoo on his back was finished and bandaged. Ace didn't complain as the phoenix helped him out onto the deck, and as the effects of the cuff began to fade, he looked down at his crewmate's arms. It seemed there was every color of the rainbow there, but that wasn't what caught his eye. What stood out was how few of the gray and white marks were filled in. There was one low on the phoenix's right forearm, which was a solid blue-gray, and another just over his right elbow, which was pure white. But the rest of the pale marks bore symbols. Just the two shapes, actually, repeated over and over.
"They're all the same, Yoi."
Ace startled a little and grinned sheepishly.
"Pirates, all of them."
Marco ran a hand down his arm,
thumb trailing over the symbols without missing a single one. Ace made a sympathetic sound and rubbed at his own band of brilliant yellow. It must suck to outlive your soulmate so many times. I guess you wouldn't be interested this time, then? He turned his wrist so Marco could see his symbol, and the blonde sighed. You're a bit young for me. Ace snorted and his back twinged, but he smiled regardless. Well, I can live with that. It wasn't until nearly a year later that Marco pulled him aside after a battle with some unusually competent Marines and pressed him against the wall with hungry, desperate kisses. Ace's wrist burned, and he grabbed the Phoenix by the hair to keep him close. I can't lose you, Marco breathed when they pulled apart, blue flames flickering in his ancient eyes. Not yet. Good, because I don't plan on dying anytime soon. Ace tightened his grip on Marco's hair and pulled his soulmate in for another kiss. 14 months later, Marco wrapped bandages tight around the burning stripe of skin just above Ace's mark. Someday he would be ready to acknowledge his soulmate's last incarnation. But for the moment, he needed time to grieve.